Good morning, Igu FM listeners. Yes, is sorry, they are fixing the this technology. Once again, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. As you were introduced earlier, we were introduced earlier that today is John Walenga taking over the Unpacking of the Day with a guest, a very special guest in my opinion, Victoria Joel. But I hope you don't mind for me just to refer to you as Vicky.
Yes, please.
That will make me more comfortable.
Of course.
Excellent. So we are here with Vicky, and Vicky, don't mind if you have to call my name, just say John.
Okay.
Or Wa, as the... Eh? I'm thinking it too. I'm thinking it too. I'm thinking it too. Yeah, Vicky, welcome to Eagle FM. Let me just give a background introduction, how we find ourselves in the studio today. I had an opportunity to fly with one airline from somewhere, and usually I prefer to sit on that car seat called A, where you sit alone, you and your soul. But for some reason that day, and the plane was not full even, I was put at a seat, it was B and C, right?
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to this energetic lady, and I'm like, okay, let me see. I'm not going to move over on the other side because on my right it was empty. And after a lengthy introduction, I realized that, wow, I'm in the company of the royal in terms of thinking capacity and energy. And we chatted, and only to discover that Vicky is actually crazy. And I thought, but have you been exposed to the rest of Namibia before? I said, no, I'm always on Eagle FM. Well, apparently she was equally shocked because that was the first time you met me, right?
Yeah, I met you in person, yes.
Yeah, met me in person. But yeah, all these people at Energy, they have been Eagle FM, not Energy. That's my background, by the way. Mm-hmm. Energy also, so yeah. They have been interviewing you, but it has been on different topics, which is a good thing.
Of course.
But never in your personal capacity in finding out who is this figure.
Yeah.
And I made an offer that I would want to interview you myself, and the rest is history.
Of course.
Welcome
and I'm excited.
To Eagle FM.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. Maybe, Vicky, this is just a discussion.
Of course.
There is no paper on the table.
Okay.
It's unprepared.
Of course.
The reason why I don't have notes or anything, I want you to be comfortable.
Thank you.
This is just a discussion for the rest of Namibia to get to know you. Yes, you are a businesswoman. I'm aware of that. But tell us about yourself before we get to the business.
Well, yeah, Vicky is quite an ordinary, although has a very extraordinary mindset. Born and raised in Swakopmund. So Afrikaans is Witwatermoedertaal.
I see.
But of course, our roots are always back home here in the north, raised by a very hardworking woman who taught us that everything you do is through hard work. So for me, any type of work, you have to work hard to earn, to get to where you want in life.
Mm.
That's how I was raised. I was also raised in a house that I'm not limited to think in my capacity and also to live beyond my current circumstances.
Mm.
I think I also need to applaud my mom's employer. She's a German lady.
Mm.
She exposed me to a lot at a very young age because I grew up in Mondesa.
Mm.
And if you only are limited to what you see around Mondesa,
mm.
sometimes your thinking is also just limited to what is around you.
Mm.
But I had the opportunity where I was exposed to a different world, and especially, a different world where I'm not limited. It made me think out of the box, start thinking already at a young age that I can do and create something that nobody has. I think that exposure also really helped me. When I look back, it has helped me to be very open-minded.
Tell us more about that world.
So, yeah, she made me go to opera.
Mm.
I'll be the only black person, and she would even want to interview me. How was it? I'm like, I was the only black person.
Mm.
So why were you only focusing on that point that you were the only black person?
Mm.
You earned a ticket just like anyone else, so what you were supposed to do was enjoy like everybody else. So that taught me to be comfortable. Even if I look different or have different thoughts, but when I have a platform to sit at the table and have earned it, honestly, then I shouldn't be uncomfortable or look at what might people judge me. So from an early age, that has already taught me to say, you know what, even if you're a black sheep among the white ones, you are still sitting. You're still sitting among the sheep. So you do you, no matter what, as long as you do it honestly, then it's still okay.
What do you do?
Well, yeah, currently I do social entrepreneurship. Specifically, I have founded a school called Circle of Hope, Circle of Hope Private Academy. Which is an inclusive private school based in Ongwediva, where we teach children with autism, Down syndrome, and intellectual disorder, as well as children with no special needs in the mainstream division.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does it mean, an integrated school? What does it mean?
Interesting. Yeah, it's something that is not really common.
Mm.
And I've realized not just in Namibia, but everywhere else in the world.
Mm.
I had my fair chance of traveling, still looking forward to more travels.
Mm.
And so basically what we have is that we have children with special needs, specifically those with mental disabilities.
Mm.
And then we also have mainstream learners who actually don't have any special or any disability.
Mm.
We have what we call divisions. Mm. So we have special need classes that are taught on levels.
Mm.
And then we have now the mainstream of grade 0 up to grade 3. So basically, the kids with autism are very unique and very special. They do have challenges in social interaction, behavior, and communication, but have extremely smart, unique talents that are unexplainable. And that, because of the challenges sometimes they have, the challenges of social interaction, communication, they have a bit of a challenge being in a normal classroom setup. So they start on a special need class, but once they improve, they are able to be integrated in the mainstream classes with other kids who don't have any disabilities.
How do you get that right? Because what I know,
mm-hmm.
the current setup of schooling in Namibia, you have Elua, for example, here in Ongwediva,
yes,
which is just focusing on learners with disabilities. But you are saying at your school,
mm-hmm.
or in your school,
mm-hmm.
You have managed to integrate all the learners, irrespective
yes.
of their physical condition.
Yes.
How?
Because
that's what I found very interesting.
Yeah, it is, and it's not easy. Yeah. We work with quite a big team. We have a multidisciplinary approach when it comes to this. So we work with occupational therapists, speech therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists. All these people, we come together and we work. Each one actually has a different sort of input on how they're going to help the child. Occupational is mostly on focus and concentration, gross motors, and we sit together. So everyone brings to the table on what they assess on the children or that child, and then we now come up with an individual education plan of where do we start.
With that child.
Of course, as we grow, most of them are now categorized in different groups or similar groups. So now we know that if this child comes with this type of personalities, they fit in this type of group. So we need to first work on social interaction, behavior, and communication, because that is actually the biggest challenge when it comes to children with autism. Most of the time, their disability is not physical. It's mental. They are very much physically able, but you need the mind to be able to process that for you to act it out correctly. So once we are able to help them with different approaches, with different professionals, to come to a point where they can take instructions, they are able to handle their sensory issues, then the child can actually sit for a whole period in a class.
But what is your role in that equation?
My role is mostly to sort of mentor, mentor my team. Mine is more on behavior. I'm able to sort of strategically plan on finding out. For example, my teachers can come to me and they will list out their challenge with that specific learner. And I will start off, what is the child's strength? What does he like? What is his interest? No, he likes colors, so why don't you turn the alphabet into colors? And the child will be attracted to sit because the colors is something of his interest. And you still get what you want at the end of the day. You get to teach your alphabet just by changing your approach into a learner centered approach, that rather than the teacher learner approach, which is usually the one that is used in many schools.
You are talking of different professionals.
Yes.
Assessing this one learner, and after that, you come up with a program fitting the environment.
Of course.
Of what you would have decoded, right? Now, what are you? Are you a psychologist? What is your background in terms of profession?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because many people, when I tell them, they actually get shocked. And that's why, being a Christian, I'll tell them that's my calling. It's a gift that I have. I have not really went to study to get master degrees into this field. I have done a lot of trainings. I was trained by senior experts from Germany. And then I've also had experience working at a school like this in Swakopmund. Have done a lot of online training as well, still doing it. Mostly to unpack. Currently, I am doing my studies in psychology, just to add on to what I have. But I don't specifically have a, what do you call it?
You never went to school for this.
No, this is just a gift. I have been having keen interest ever since I was a child. My mom will always, up to now, she will point out if she sees anyone with disabilities.
Yeah.
Vicky, there's your people.
Yeah.
So, and the school was actually born from Circle of Hope Youth Group, which was initiated in 2011. So me being into the field from then up to now has also given me a lot of experience, a lot of exposure in the field, because it has been constant. Although I might do other things here and there, my interest in when it comes to working with people with disabilities has always been very consistent. And I think my year of experience also really has given me that, to be able to be innovative and creative when it comes to assisting within the special need. Because with this field, you need to be passionate. there's no really you making millions. I've done a lot of business activities as a young person. That has helped me to be able to transform it into a social enterprise because it needs to be sustainable with the background business activities that I have. But my heart is definitely with these kids. It's not really to make money. I know where to make money. I was selling fish in the past. When I actually relocated to the north, that was my first business activity that I was doing. Although while I was running my fish business, I was also volunteering at a government public school in Otapi, which works with children with special needs. That's when I saw that there was actually no school like mine by that time in the north. Parents will come to the school wanting to get assistance, and specifically those with autism, they had no opportunity where to place their children back then.
You see, that's exactly the reason why I thought I should have a discussion with you, because of that part.
Okay.
Now, that day you were coming from somewhere. Tell us about it.
So...
Because according to you, that's very much part of your business.
Yes.
And that rare talent that you have has actually attracted the international world to you through the digital platforms.
Of course.
Tell us more about it.
So I was actually coming from Zimbabwe, beautiful country, by the way. I was a guest speaker at the Autism Awareness for professionals, teachers, occupational therapists, parents, and caregivers. So what we did was we went to Bulawayo. I spoke to different, about 200 to 300, and also in Harare as well, where basically we just unpack on how inclusive teaching approach, which is not really common in many countries. I've been to Germany. I visited some schools where I've also given some presentation on how we do things at our school. I've also been in the U.S. where I was also given the opportunity to also share on how we do the inclusive integration aspect. So, for me, my mindset is that if we want an inclusive society, we should start from the grassroots, and that is with the schools. You possibly find it a bit funny to meet somebody with autism, because if you are not directly having somebody who has autism, when you're an adult, then you meet somebody coming to flat pants, and this person is sitting in front of you saying, "I want a job here in Eagle FM." But after 2 minutes talking to you, he's flapping hands or he's shaking. This will be very strange to you. But if you grow up as a child in the same school, of course we understand that there are different needs when it comes to education to some of these kids. But they do grow up to be adults. And we will live in one world. Teaching them separate makes it very difficult to go and integrate it now on a very high already. Yes. So when you start at a young age, like our kids at our school, they have no really, in the first beginning, they will ask questions, especially those who don't have disabilities. Why is John flipping hands? And then you explain. Why is he doing this? Then you explain. And then they actually find it very interesting. Then they are able to readapt very quickly to the different kids, because different children with different autism have different spectrums. So they act different. So they know that this one can't talk, but you are able to play with him in this way. You are able to communicate with him in this way. If he's flapping hands, oh, that is fun to him, so let me also flap hands with him. They are able to readapt very quickly, and it becomes a normal setup. But they are also able to see that, wow, John is very good in mathematics. Some of our learners with autism actually helps those who don't have any autism or any disability.
How?
That's the funny part. That's when you have to come see at school.
Yeah.
You know, when you find two kids playing together and they are from different languages mm-hmm. in the location,
mm-hmm.
and you will find these kids actually having a conversation.
Yeah.
There will be no fights, and the other will be responding in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for kids, it's very easy for them to readapt and be able to figure out that this is the way you socially interact, and mm-hmm. this is how I will approach you so that we can still work together. So that is what we want to see in the world, that once you grow up together in the same environment,
mm-hmm.
that is what will lead to an inclusive society. The moment you grow up different, in two different separate worlds,
mm.
how do you now go bring these two people together? That's when a lot of rejections,
mm.
a lot of misconceptions,
mm.
especially when it comes to people with disabilities, they're always seen as a charity case,
mm.
people who need to be helped. I remember in the U.S., I asked one center, it's a Down syndrome center, and I asked, how do you do the integration of inclusive?
Yeah.
He said, we bring other kids from high schools and we show them, we bring them to help these kids with Down syndrome. I'm like, but what do you teach these Down syndrome kids? No, we teach them how to bake. So why not show them their baking skills
mm.
and actually teach those who don't have any disability so that you can sort of introduce this from the angle of you have also something to gain and learn from somebody who has a disability, because they have abilities.
Mm. Now, you see, what I like about your approach,
mm-hmm.
it's more of a craftsman, né?
Yes.
Or woman for that matter.
Thank you.
You get this raw product and you mold it into what you want him or her to become.
Of course.
It's through your hands. Now, the molding process, as you rightly put it, that maybe the best way for me to appreciate it is to come to your school and see it in action.
Yes.
But paint it for us. How do you do it? And so far, when you are saying you have some of your best students,
mm-hmm.
And you were telling me about the bright one
mm-hmm.
out of your hand.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So we have one specific...
And how you arrive at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have one specific learner. He's got an autobiographic memory. He's got autism.
Mm.
This boy is able to capture data immediately at first sight. That is, anything that is written, it mm. can be in different languages,
mm.
he will be able to rewrite it or retype it exactly as it is. If he had seen it on the phone, he will type hashtag this, or if it's a song in Xhosa, he saw the lyrics, he will be able to do it. He's also able to tell you 2026 Christmas Day, whether it will be on a Monday or Tuesday. Or the year you were born, whether you were born on a Monday or a Tuesday.
Mm.
And this he can do within seconds. Now, sometimes he has meltdowns because it's like he cannot really control in him capturing. If he's driving with his mom, he's able to actually capture the whole number plates that he's able to see in front of him. He's able to read the guest houses next to it or the places next to it, and he will be able to write it down. And because he has delayed speech, he's unable to really, you know, express it out
mm.
to come back and actually tell you, I saw all of this, and you get it out a bit out of your system. So he does experience a bit of meltdowns. That's what we call it, where it becomes overwhelming. And then he will have a bit of breakdowns where he is having a bit of challenges. And he will be screaming, and sometimes it looks really bad because it seems like something is really, really disturbing him.
Mm.
And he's unable. He will be crying while he's having that meltdown. Usually, we bring him out of the class. We get him to be in a quiet space with no words. because he's unable to control that.
Mm.
And then we just let him be. We mm-hmm. ask later on, do you want a hug? What do you want to lie down? What do you want? And he's able to actually say, okay, I'm okay now. I can go back to class. But what also helps is the occupational therapist. So we do advise the parents to take the child for occupational therapy. That actually they get a bit of inputs from them on how to cope with some of these challenges. Now, this boy is one boy that has led us to actually work on a very amazing project of, especially in this world of AI and robotics and stuff like that. So we put him in front of a computer and he knew how to do it. Because we expose them to a lot of creative skills to identify their skills, pre-vocational skills. And we put him in front of a sewing machine and he knew how to do it for the first time.
Just like that.
Just like that. So what we're trying to do is to give him as much as exposure as possible to very various different things.
What bring him here. Bring him here.
Yeah, I'll definitely bring him in one day with the permission of the parents. You just expose him to something and he'll be able to know how to do it, which means there's great knowledge, especially when we have to bring him to a point where we can actually teach something or let him innovate something that we are lacking in this world.
Mm.
Yeah, so, yeah, this boy is amazing. They are all different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pay bills for now.
Okay. Thank you.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at rogers.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, welcome back. We are talking to Vicky. I'm sure those who are listening, you probably now understand why we have to bring her in the studio, because she has this unique talent. And the government today is talking about promoting unique talent in Namibia, but do you think they would understand your talent? So far, what have they done? Do they understand your talent?
I think at this stage they are at a point of actually sort of trying to understand me,
yeah.
And also giving me the platform to actually
express
and also get inputs from me, because we struggled to get the school registered for 4 years, and that comes in of how do we register you, because the school doesn't exist in the system, and you know, do we register you as a special school or what? How do we don't have such an application of an inclusive school? And I insisted that I'm going to be registered as an inclusive school, not a special school. Mm. Will they have the inclusive education policy? Mm. So that backed it up a bit. Mm. Another thing is there's not actually data, enough data when it comes to the number of children that actually have this autism spectrum. Mm. You know, disability is only known if it's physical. That one is obvious. When you see somebody who's visually impaired, I have an uncle who's visually impaired, who got educated, went into an inclusive set-up school, and already that, for me, I've seen evidence that it actually works. And I don't know in which years that was done, but he did went to GT. Mm. I remember him retelling a story that he actually was in the same class with other people that are not sighted. That's how they call us. They say sighted people. And currently he's the one that I actually planning to, because we have a tutorial academy in Ohangwena, where we want to introduce adult literacy, and he's a qualified adult literacy teacher. So he will be the one to teach the adult literacy to sighted people. Because for us and him, who's actually experienced the practicality of being in an inclusive education, we know it's possible. I think it just becomes more complex because it's not exercised and well researched that you believe it's just not possible. Because I remember also when we started it, it was a bit challenging because that's when we had to realize that we need to sort of bring them in step by step. When we started the inclusive education, where we had our special needs, because you know a child with autism, some of them are very hyper. You're teaching this one who doesn't have special needs, and then the other one is running up and down.
Yeah.
And he's making sound because he's excited, or maybe just overstimulated. While this other child is now distracted from, of course, the child running up and down. So basically, we came out to come up with different other strategies on how we can make it possible for both learners not to be neglected, but get the best education that they can. For example, we know that the younger ones, when they come in, they still need a lot of attention, those with special needs. So they need to be, certain subjects, they need to be in their separate class, and then they integrate in art, or and then art and physical education, they're in being integrated with others as well. Because then they can run together. Then no one actually disturbs the other one. Yeah, the government, eventually we did get to register our school. They do give us platforms to be able to also educate them. And they visit our school quite often to be able to understand. I give them a lot of headaches sometimes because we push that at least they change certain things to be able to make provision for these children. Especially the biggest challenge we're facing now is the curriculums. The curriculums makes it a bit difficult for us to be able to really teach the children, especially those with autism. And also, it sort of box them. Because now, imagine the learner that I was talking about.
Yeah.
The child has amazing skills.
Yeah.
But now, because we are in a system of when we are teaching grades.
Yeah.
And also levels within the special need curriculum.
Yeah.
We are a bit limited to teaching other things, for example, electronics at that young age, to teaching IT, but on a very high level, because the guy has already unique talents. So if you're teaching computer class of grade 1 and 2, because that's his age, that's very boring for him. And it still limits for him to explore and actually become to do much more than he's actually capable of. So if we're given the platform to be able to actually have that flexibility in the curriculum, it will make it a bit very much easy for us to be able to get more out of our learners.
So basically you are saying your school,
in
our educational system, the whole setup, it actually never existed. Nobody thought of it. It's something unique that you have come up with. Hence, there was that difficulties in getting it registered?
Yes, there is special schools where you choose to just register it as a special school, or you register it as a, they call it the normal school. There's no such a thing as normal and abnormal school. I want to clarify that. But having a private school to have both
discipline,
both in one. That has never really existed. Yeah, even I have a letter from the Oceana Directorate from Education that says they are the only within the region.
They are now proud.
Yes.
To have such a school.
Of course, of
unique
course.
In the whole of Namibia.
Yeah, very much.
They have forgotten all the trouble they have tried to give you.
I think it was fair because autism needed a lot of awareness. Not many people really understand autism at all.
What was fair? Don't be nice to people who are not nice.
I wouldn't say being nice, but the assessment in the requirements of the ministry, making sure that they get all the information for them to understand exactly what you're going to do with these Namibian children, was sort of a bit fair to be able to just control that properly, because they are our controlling body. Now, of course, we run fully as a private school, so we are not funded by anyone or by any institute.
Not even the government is not on board.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah, so we entirely cover all our costs from the school fees that is being paid from the parents.
You see, there are two people here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There is Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
With a special talent.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky has an eye also to identify the right teachers.
Yes.
To complement your ideas.
Yes.
Now, but then there is a school itself.
Yeah.
You have managed to mold it in such a way that is unique, and you perhaps want to grow it beyond what it is today.
Yes.
What is your dream of the school? Where is it now? At what level is the school? And where do you want to take it?
Koha is a very, very big institute, actually.
Did you say Koha?
Yes.
Can you... What is the meaning of Koha again?
Koha is the acronym name for Circle of Hope Academy. When we came in the north, it was actually... The acronym was given by one of the parents because I remember him saying, Shekela, Shekela, Shekela of Hope.
Shekela of Hope.
Shekela. No offense to my... So they will call and, you know, always struggle. Is it Shekela or Shekela?
Shekela of Hope.
Shekela of Hope. So the acronym makes it a bit easier for them. Now they just say Koha. Which is the abbreviation.
Okay.
Yeah. So Koha is a very big institute because currently we have attracted not only learners at our school, but we've attracted student teachers from Germany. We received, just this year we had a student teacher from Germany to come and do her practicals of internship at our school. We have attracted teachers from Zambia, where I went to do a training, workshop trainings, because that is, we have a training resource department. Well, this is how we collaborate. When I go out of the country, I actually go and collaborate with other institutes where I provide workshops and seminars on just basically not telling the teachers what to do, but how to open up their minds to be innovative and creative in their teaching approaches. The same with professionals that are actually working with these kids. How do you make, how do you change your approach in it being inclusive? Not only in education, but in your inclusive labor as well. When you have people with disabilities, how do you include them in your workplaces?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But tell us about where it is now.
Okay.
At what level is your school?
Mm-hmm.
And where you want to take it? Is it at the lower primary? Secondary?
Okay.
It's, what is it?
So currently the school is having lower primary only for the mainstream division, which we are planning to take it up to senior, up to secondary, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. And then we have also the special needs with the levels. Mm-hmm. And then the levels, because there are kids that cannot be integrated to go into the the mainstream.
Yeah.
So we just do levels with them in the special need, mm-hmm. and then we do pre-vocational.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we already started identifying what are their creative skills. Out of their creative skills, are they good in cooking? Are they good in agriculture? So we groom them at a very young age with communicative English, basic numeracy, so that they can just become somebody after they actually finish their schools. While you find those that they can actually make it up to grade 12, because now we cannot transfer our kids. Because of the unique teaching approach that we have, to transfer them, you know, to a different school that can take them up to the different phases, that is a challenge. Many times our kids, when they face out, especially because now we have those that are able to go to the mainstream, the special needs, but they are still needing learning support.
Mm.
Now, in other schools, they don't have that set up.
But you see, as much as you have done a great job
mm-hmm.
integrating these kids
mm-hmm.
To become one,
mm-hmm.
a part of this society, to me those are true Namibians, because they are very accommodative of all sorts of challenges in life.
Yeah.
Now, the ones who are normal, do you think they will be able to cope in other schools?
Yes.
Because now they think different.
Yeah.
You have molded them into a different, for a lack of a better word, monsters. Because if they go to other secondary schools, for example,
mm-hmm.
they are going to find it boring, because everything they see is the same. There are no challenges that
mm-hmm.
they have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think of that? Or am I right to think that way?
Yeah, yeah, you are right. Because we actually experienced it. We had kids that had to go to, because we don't have the upper primary yet, those that don't have any special needs. So they had to continue to go to another school.
Mm.
And the father came to us several times that maybe he can't just bring them back.
Yes,
the
I can
kids,
imagine.
The kids don't want to be at the other schools.
Yes.
They like their school. Some of them are actually more... I think the IQ
yes.
is a bit more high.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah, more to the normal mainstream schools that don't have the special needs kids that we have.
Yeah.
I remember one of the parents actually telling us that, but the kids are telling the teachers what to do.
I can imagine.
The kids are pointing out also, they are even actually able to pick up other kids in the classroom who have special needs.
Mm.
Many times we have these kids that are called slow learners.
Yes.
So these kids are able to say, but he needs help, because they know that in our school we are able to identify those that need learning support,
mm.
and we offer that individual learning support.
Mm.
So the kids are able to actually go and point out that to the teacher.
Mm.
So they had quite a bit of a challenge to readapt in the other system of schools. But I think what we are trying to do is also to train other teachers at all the schools, actually, if we are given that opportunity. Currently, we have done it for the Oshana Directorate of Education. They did call us in to be able to train their teachers, those that are actually working in the LUA, AI, intellectual impairment, because they now also have a section.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, just to share on how we do it,
mm-hmm.
they came to our school, actually witnessed how we do it in our school as well. We've also trained teachers in Erango, Erango Education Directorate, those that
I can see you are plowing back.
Yeah. They still, yeah, in fact, they want me back.
Can you imagine? I am a treasure.
Yeah, so we trained over 25 teachers from different schools within Erango, private and public, those that are having special units within the mainstream schools.
Yeah.
But now we want to spread it out, not just to teachers that work with special needs, but to every other teacher. Because currently, those that have, there's something called autism, there's also something called intellectual disability. Those are...
Say that again?
Intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Are there two types?
Autism, spectrum mm-hmm. disorder,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also intellectual disability. So intellectual is those kids.
Meaning what?
Have you ever been in class and you see this child just being transferred from one grade to another?
Yes. That one is called what?
Intellectual.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a learning disability where the child can probably have dyslexia, has a reading and writing problem, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where the child maybe is writing properly, but he's just writing, rewriting from the board.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's writing exam, he's rewriting, have very nice handwriting, but he's just rewriting the question in the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us have experienced some of those fellow learners.
That one is called what?
It's now the one that we call intellectual.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a bit twisted, but yeah, that's
it's a learning. It's a learning.
You are able to decode all those things.
It's a learning disability. Yeah, yeah. Of course, if I had a doctor here, he would have explained it more detailed.
Different.
Yeah, more detailed. And
don't worry, we are not talking about those ones. So we just want your understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what matters the most.
Yeah. So those kids now, they are also sitting a lot in the schools, in the mainstream schools, because those ones don't have autism. Autism is the one where the child, you know, they're hyperactive, they can't sit still. Sometimes they are not verbal. They cannot talk, but they can hear you. And social interaction. But then a child with learning disability does not have any of this. It's somebody who can talk to you, have a normal conversation. But when it comes to schoolwork, that is where the challenge is.
Yes.
So many of these kids are not just being promoted from one grade to another. Not promoted, but transferred. They are not passing until they actually go out of the system. And these are the kids that most likely might have that learning disability.
Yeah.
So I remember now one of the parents actually, when these kids that had to be to go to another school, because we don't have the upper phase yet, the parents was also pointing out that our previous learners that are now there, they are able to point out that this child needs help. John needs help. Because they knew that for us, we were able to pick that up and provide the individual learning support. Yeah, so what we're trying to do is, from the training resource department of COHA, is not, because we know that these kids are everywhere, not just within COHA. Is to try and capacitate also other teachers that are based at other schools, not only in Namibia. We've done it in Zambia. We've done it in Angola. We've done it in Botswana. We've done it in Germany as well, where we share what we are able to do here. We had a German expert 2 years back also at our school where we share different transfer knowledge.
They come to learn from you, from your school. From COHA.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. We have great results from our kids. They are improving. So we do believe that our approaches are actually working. And like I said, it's not just an input of Vicky. It's a whole teamwork.
Yeah.
We have other professionals with great experience. We have a board with academics that have been in the field for a long time to be able to also give their inputs. And currently we are also working with partners from the U.S. because when I was in the U.S. doing, I did my entrepreneurship in leadership and business at the Drake University. So the OT, there's an occupational therapy department that, they, that we are now working together as well. They have shared and even sent some materials that we're able to use here together with the professionals that we have on the ground. So it's a whole teamwork of professionals that are also giving their different inputs, different institutes, but we come together for the better of this one child.
So would I be right to say that your school is a practical school?
Yes.
You are not theory, yes, but you focus on the practical side of life.
Yes. Our approach is very practical.
Yeah.
Our teaching approach starts first outside. Our learners, if they are being taught water, the use of water, the teacher will go out and go to the toilet by the basin and show them, this is what we use water for. He will flush the toilet, say, you see, that is water. To flush the toilet. You see, we are washing our hands. That is the other use of water. You see, we are watering our garden. That is the other use of water. And when he gets an opportunity, for example, when there's rain, So, you see, that is another way where we get water from.
Wow.
So, we even have a smart TV, so that if we are unable to actually take them to those different environments, he will Google, put it on the TV, and the kids are able to see. So, and then now we get to the book later on. Yeah. Because now they have the picture.
Yes.
They have touch. They even, in art class, they will also create something that of that topic. We incorporate a lot of drama play as well, which is also part of the teaching approach. So we have Mama Doris who comes in every first day. She will do according to the lesson plan. If, for example, we are teaching different plants, then she will come up with a song where they dance. Because they are very hyper. They have a lot of energy. So we utilize now that energy into something, an opportunity for them to learn.
Dear listeners, you are still listening to Igloo FM. In case you think maybe it's just a discussion taking place somewhere, this is live. We have, we are honored to have Vicky in the studio today, whom I truly believe that is a treasure to Namibia. And I just hope that somebody somewhere who is more powerful than Vicky can take her and put her at a different pedestal of life. Especially the fact that we have so many needs in this country. We don't have role models like Vicky. To me, you're a role model.
Oh, wow, well, thank you.
And truly, we are humbled to have you on air. I just hope, because you said you are a Christian.
Mm.
And the hallmark of Christianity is hope. I just hope somebody somewhere can realize that you need to be protected.
Yeah.
More than we protect our diamonds.
Amen.
To me, that's how important of a person you are. Because if you were living, for example, in the U.S., life would have been different.
And they are giving offers already.
I can imagine. But you have decided you want to stay home and make a difference in our society. Now, Vicky, if you look at young people, we are still going to come back to your school.
Of course.
When you look at the young people, especially the, what I always say is, when people look at musicians, for example, or artists, they think artists are crazy people.
Yeah.
They are not respected in the society. But elsewhere in the world, artists are actually the most treasured people in those societies.
Very true.
Like soldiers.
Yeah.
Soldiers are trained to handle a gun. But the best place for a soldier to be is not in the base, it's in the field.
Yeah.
Now, people don't understand the mind, the psyche of an artist, that they are not an 8-to-5 type of workers.
Yeah.
They actually prefer to work when everybody is in the dream world. Crazy as you are, how do you relate? What is this that, what message do you have to the society to start respecting and treasure people like yourself? Without talking about yourself, I know you're a humble person.
Yeah.
But let's talk about artists.
Of course.
Because that's what you are busy doing.
Yeah.
You are producing artists.
Yeah, very true. So I believe creativity is where a lot can be innovated from.
Yeah.
Somebody's mind who thinks different and who looks, who's actually stimulated by their environment to be able to come up with a song or something. Like, I experienced it in the U.S. They do, storytelling is a big thing in the U.S. That's even how they do their marketing. It's all about telling a story. And at the end of that video, you will actually see now Coca-Cola. Oh, they actually wanted to promote Coca-Cola. But it's a whole drama play of how somebody comes from work, exhausted, climbs in their car. And that's art. And there's a song in the background. Again, that was art by somebody, a producer, whatsoever. So I believe that coming up with all of that and actually bringing it out as a product at the end of the day And then that product or service actually bring out again more results. If you look at that cycle of cash flow that also goes in that process, job creation that also comes in that process, uniqueness, and you know, just bringing out culture. And I wish we could actually make use of it more, because our marketing is so, you know, so strict, so professional, that it doesn't really
So professional. Whose standard are we using? That's copy and paste approach.
Exactly.
There's nothing unique about us. We are copying other cultures, and that's what we are trying to implant.
And that's the funny part, because when you go out there, people actually want to know about your culture.
Yeah.
Before they start talking business with you. So tell me more about your country. What is the culture? How do you guys do this? So they are more attracted from your background, your roots, your African descent. I had this African map earrings.
Yeah.
I was not planning to wear them the whole 3 months, 2 months I was in the U.S., but I ended up wearing them every day, and I had to point out. I actually wish I could. I had one tate there who can just map out Namibia, because every time I have to say, I'm from Africa, oh, okay. You're from South Africa? Because that's the only country they know. South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, those common countries, or Ethiopia.
Yes.
I'm like, no, I'm from Namibia. Okay, Namibia? Then you have to point. Namibia is down there.
Trump would say Namibia.
Namibia. Yeah, so you, and then they want to know about the people in Namibia. Some of them that have been there, they will highlight the culture. So many times now, this comes from artists. This is the people that has to help us to create and to sell. How do we sell ourselves out there?
You see, most people don't realize the meaning of, the true meaning of culture. Culture basically is one of those raw material that you have in your society.
Yes.
Because the biggest treasure you have in any given society is human capital.
Of course.
Human beings. Now, we don't realize that when we are talking about culture and we are embracing what is coming from elsewhere, we don't realize that those people, all what they have done, and sometimes they have copied from us.
Yes, the concept.
And they just take our raw material, which is probably our folklore music, and commercialize it.
True.
Now, the reason why our folklore music will excite outsiders, especially in Europe or US, why they're excited about our folklore is because it's something new to them.
Yeah.
They are like, what? There's something like this. And the producers there would not even say, no, we are copying a song from Africa.
No, no rights at all.
You see what I mean? But the truth is, even if you listen to the music of Michael Jackson, there are many songs. The rhythm comes from here, from Africa. All what he did is to commercialize it and write the lyrics in such a way that it can resonate to his society.
True.
That's all what they do.
Yeah.
Now, 35 years into independence, if you look at that Department of Culture, it has been a desk.
Yeah, true.
And the budget will be something like 10 million per annum. How do you, what is yours? You budget less for what is yours. And you budget more for what you are importing. We have things like software, for example. Our IT students or graduates, all what they do here is troubleshooting. But we have problems of data collection in Namibia. Whereas you are supposed just to send those graduates in the field, and they plot the whole of Namibia, so that the president at the end of the day doesn't have to call a minister, just to press a button. In this village, Okamundi,
yeah,
what is happening? The data should pop up.
Yeah.
But we don't do that. We are excited to get what they call off-the-shelf solutions, which are made by Microsoft for the world. And we are excited about that. Whereas our own graduates have been reduced to troubleshooting.
Mm.
We don't realize that that's part of your culture.
Mm.
We are now adopting their culture by making us copy or download what they have produced for the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of us being captured. Now, I want you to speak to that type of thinking.
Mm.
Where is it taking us as a nation? Is it taking us somewhere? Do you think it's taking us somewhere?
I think that's what brings frustration to the youth, because there's great talents within us.
Yeah.
But like personally, trust me, I do believe that I'm acknowledged more outside and appreciate. My art is appreciated out more outside. They make things to the point where sometimes when these offers come, you are tempted.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, wow, now this person is actually listening to me. They're willing to support it. They see it as an asset.
Mm-hmm.
When you come and talk here, they see you as a crazy person. But crazy, there's a goodness in crazy, because that's where innovation to solution, to problems.
This whole world is what it is today because of crazy people.
Yeah.
You can talk about the person who discovered the bulb.
Yeah.
Talk of Hitler,
even
though they don't like him. Crazy people.
Yeah.
But they have changed the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do believe...
Feel comfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
Being referred to as crazy.
Of course.
You are doing a great job in this society.
Yeah, no, I'm used to that. My own mother calls me crazy, so it's okay.
Mm.
And I do believe I'm a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But good crazy, because the craziness is solving a problem and bringing solution to really a big social need. So there is young people that are not given enough support as well in there. Because you'll find, I've read so many times on their, or a young boy came up, built the airplane or something with just what he's able to get within his
locality.
But if he's given an opportunity for him to now actually go and do it on a much commercial way, we might actually have manufacturers currently in the country. But they're not given enough platform to be able to explore. And sometimes also I feel like some of our, it blocks us. When you go and study for this specifically, because they already have module set up. Like for me, I have tried so many times, I've enrolled at so many institutes, but when I go read in that, for me to study, especially in this field that I have, is when I came to realize that I think I'm an innovator in this field. Because what I know is not what is currently available in the books. And trust me, academics are learning from what the innovators came up with. The bulb from the research. If the bulb was done by somebody, it's because he came up with that crazy idea, and through all the years he's been working on that craft until one day it actually worked and it has results. And now we are all learning from this innovator. So some of us are innovators, and some of us now are the ones to go and actually assemble, learn from academics. So innovators are not given enough platform to be able to, you know, explore their talent and craft it for them to, you know, bring up that. And this is in so many artists. Music, but they are different. But this music can be able to do create awareness. We have mental health issues that are crazy in this world. So many of this is within our people. Many of the concept as well that is out there, that's why you find people coming into, they want to go into the villages, the tourists. Some of them are researchers. They want to go deep, deep in the tourists. They want to go to the Himbas, to the Sun people, because they want to find out how are you able to live in this
they
world.
Are thieves, they are just stealing our raw material and take it outside and commercialize it.
Yeah, so the concept most of the time are derived from Africa.
Yeah.
On how we were able to, because we were living before all of this other modern stuff came up.
Yeah.
But where is the concept coming from?
Mm.
Of a plate?
Mm.
It's coming from, or, you know, when you make onjove,
mm-hmm.
that machine, now the person doing it manually,
yeah.
The person who is now having a manufacturing company with the right equipment is able to go and come up with a machine,
yeah.
then he does all the work.
Yeah.
But the concept came from where? It's from that mekulu, mekuvalai. So that's... Exactly.
Mm.
So art and craft is also where manufacturing can be derived from.
100%.
So if people now are given to say, okay, come up with a prototype, and then from there, you bring now engineers
yes.
or whoever that can come up with that machine.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with that machine from this prototype from Mekulu. And many times, these are the people we need to communicate before they go and meet their maker.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the true African concept.
Mm-hmm.
And this is customized to our environment, to what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when we copy and paste, the environment does not suit that copying that we are doing from other sectors of the world. I remember...
Because there is nothing new we are introducing.
I remember our expert from Germany, when she came,
mm-hmm.
we took her along to other meetings,
mm-hmm.
and she spoke on what she came to do at our school.
Mm-hmm.
And these Namibians were excited. How do we get somebody like you to come train our teachers? So, but I'm learning from Vicky.
You see now?
I'm sharing only what I know, but Vicky is sharing what she's doing within what is suited for your environment.
Yes.
I cannot teach you what we do in Germany, because the environment, the systems, the resources, and we are far, far fetched yeah. from each other.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Mm.
So if Vicky is saying they come up with an alphabet where they write, where they draw a kettle under C, or a cow under C, is because that is what the child is exposed to.
Mm.
But I would write something else because a child in Germany is exposed to something else on that letter C.
Now, let's go back to this favorite student of yours.
Yeah.
Of ours.
Of course.
A Namibian product.
Yeah.
When you look at him now, where do you see him in the next 5 years? What do you think he's going to be doing after your school? Is he just going to be lost in society like all other kids who have graduated from Elua?
No, for us, we're actually working on, together with an IT,
mm.
a local one,
mm.
as well as one also in the US. We are coming up to see, and through research through this boy as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have set up computers that we sponsored recently, and we are now, he gets exposed to these small apps that they're coming up, and we test it on him.
Mm.
So he's actually guiding us with his mindset, with his talent. He's guiding us on coming up with an app or a system that will be able to help us to digitalize our teaching approach by putting it now on. And even
it's him.
It's him.
Your product. By the way, before you continue on that one,
mm-hmm.
Was he like that before he came to your school, or it's the expert within your school that have discovered that talent and decided to mold him into that type of a craft? What was he? Was he raw when he came to your school?
I would say the talent has it, but it was not identified, and it was also covered up by a lot of challenges that he had in social interaction, behavior, and communication. So that made it, you know, autism, like I said, highlighted previously, the challenges that children face is that those three areas, and they can't regulate their emotions most of the time. So what you will see now is just a child screaming and so on. So you will not be able to pick up a lot if the child is disturbed by a lot of sensory issues or so on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when we worked hand in hand with the occupational therapist
mm-hmm.
to to help him to be able to overcome some of the sensory issues that he have, how to regulate his emotions when he's angry. You breathe in and out, you don't bite, you don't do this, so that you can be able to work with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
How to interact with somebody. Shafa, if you cannot say it, point, what do you want? I want to go to the toilet. Then he's able to point out, we call it a communication board, point out when I need to go to the toilet. Otherwise, he will be frustrated the whole day because he wants to release himself, but he's unable to communicate it to you.
Mm.
And also how to interact.
But they are very obedient. Are you saying he's very obedient?
Now he is. Now he is. In the beginning, that was not the case.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to run after him.
Mm.
There were actually many cases where he also got lost, not from the school, but mostly the mother also struggled to really keep him in controlled.
Mm.
Because many times they're seeking for belonging.
Yeah.
So when they're in an environment where they feel like they're being judged, they try to run away from it. And many times they don't know danger.
Mm.
So they can just walk off.
Mm.
Yeah. So now...
Free spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he had to be taught all of that. The moment he was taught all of that, he's now calm. He's able to listen and understand and comprehend. He's able to now start looking in the... Because now he's not distracted anymore by the other challenges that he's facing.
Mm.
That's when we now start picking up this boy. We will tell him, okay, count from 1 to 10 because we are teaching numbers. But this boy is going up to 100. What? How do you know how to count up to 100?
Mm.
So we expose him to more. We challenge a bit more. Then we realize... he was able to, like now he knows all our database of our kids because he's been with us for 4 years now.
Mm.
So he knows the kids that were schooling 2 years back. Out of the blue, he will just ask you, where is this boy?
Mm.
I'm like, who? 2021, on this date, this boy came to this school, so where is he now? I'm like, how do you know?
Mm.
I'm like, oh, he is, we met this boy. Oh, he's no longer here.
Mm.
Oh, okay. And then another day, he will remind you, he knows every teacher's birthdays. He knows all the learners at school, those at school before and after. So the teacher started now really paying attention to what he says and exposing him to more.
Mm.
And that's when we're able to know that this boy knows much more.
Mm.
And another thing is we're able to, so observation is a very key aspect of our teaching.
Mm.
So the teachers, they take note and data every time they are picking up something new and they share it. And then when we are doing the educational plan, and we share it with the other professionals that are also working with him,
mm.
to say at school we picked up this, are you able to also like assess in that area?
Mm.
And that's when they are able to say, okay, this boy has high IQ.
Tell me, at Eagle FM,
mm-hmm.
we pride ourselves.
Mm.
That we are apolitical,
mm.
we are religious,
mm.
we don't believe in promoting
mm.
any of the two.
Okay.
But our society is such that, or life basically,
mm.
is such that you find those two types of people in our society, who some of them will be national leaders,
mm.
but they have a different mindset altogether. They are not ready for this nation. If you look at what some of the things they are doing, how do you treat politician and religious people in your school?
I would say we have
to promote that.
We are also very careful.
Mm-hmm.
We use data.
Mm-hmm.
On what we pick up with the child.
Yeah.
We always tell the parents that we cannot transform this child. We can help them improve.
Mm.
Because many of them come with very high expectations.
Yeah.
Especially the parents. They believe you can make their child normal.
Yeah, from that society I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of them comes with, you know, they went through a lot.
Mm.
The child was bewitched.
Those type of
things. And some will retell you on on you know, the stereotype from the community as well, the stigma and so on. So we actually have a big number of learners that did not enroll just because of that fear, because a parent is afraid that people will know that their child is not schooling at such a school, and they will know that the child has maybe that condition.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we try and do our level best is to, for the parents to face reality. We do not take in a child without going through occupational therapy assessment or the clinical psychologist. We meet the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
We do not give a diagnosis because we are not doctors at school. We refer you. It's part of the application for you to attach it when you are applying, because we want you to go hear from the doctors.
Mm.
After, and the doctors also do an assessment. They just don't look at the child and come up to say, oh, he looks like he's autistic.
Mm.
They do various tests,
mm.
and then another one will do another test, and now all together they come up with that diagnosis. In many cases now, especially we don't have enough of all these professionals in one room, the occupational therapy might do an assessment on their own and then say, because of all this, a 2-page. It takes one, it's quite hectic. Maybe the parent needs to go back twice. Because sometimes now the autistic child, if he goes in the room, he's not in the mood that day. Nothing can be assessed that day. So the assessments are done really detailed and thoroughly. And that is the information that is given to the parent. And that is how they come and apply to us. So we have taken ourselves as a school from giving any diagnosis, because we are not obliged, we are not allowed to do that by law, by Ministry of Health and so on.
Mm.
Only the doctors and health professionals can do that. Those that cannot do it individually, they will indicate that the child is showing symptoms, and they will list down according to the assessments that has been done.
So if I'm a politician, and I want my child to become a politician or a pastor, are you guys able to teach and mold my child into that direction? What I'm trying to get to is the social aspect of your school.
Mm.
How did you manage to succeed, to focus with all these type of challenges that our society face, especially the two extremes, that's politics and religion. How did you succeed? Without saying it, because you didn't say it, but I can see that you must have done something in order for you to focus.
Yeah. We make it very clear that this is how we teach.
Yeah.
This is what we teach. Like, this is a Bible we use. In church, they will say it's a Bible. But in our school, we have the curriculums that we use. And this is our teaching approach. That's, if you are not happy with that, you are welcome to go to another school that will want to teach your child in that way. And we have many parents that will come and later on tell you what they want. And we tell them that here is our policy.
Our
We only teach with this and with what the teaching approach that we have. You have signed, and if you want to terminate that, and we make sure that we also document it.
Mm-hmm.
When they are applying, we literally read out. Sometimes they even say, oh, I'm thinking, why does your admin has to read out for me? I said, we want you to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will include there, you as a parent, agreement between the school and us, and then we'll now list out the clause between the partnership between from parents up to the teaching approach that we use with, at our school with your child.
Mm.
So you sign. We now get into an agreement. If you want to go outside that agreement, then we have to terminate.
Mm.
Because we cannot do things. This is an institute.
Yeah.
So the moment we start individualizing on each client how they want it, it becomes really, really difficult and hard to control as well.
Trust me, we have gone through that at this level, and I can still see that many people still don't understand what we stand for, being a talk radio.
Yeah.
How do you find, how do you assess Eagle FM, crazy as you are?
Eagle FM, I've been following it since it started.
And I want you to be frank. Be frank.
I'll be blunt as possible.
Thank you.
I remember when it started, many did not like it. And that's what actually caught my interest to actually get to listen to it. I mean, why do people not like it? I think it came out different. It has a unique approach. And it's also very, also blunt on how you guys want to manage your things. It's not entirely controlled by, you know, because many times it's easy for us to bend over. When, majority are saying this, let's try and bend over so that we can accommodate the majority says. You stand firm in what you believe, how you want to get to do your things. And for me, I believe that is what needs to be done in every institute. You need to have your uniqueness and stand by your ground. What you want to be discussed on the show should be... I also like the quality that it's also producing within the standard it's also raising. It's accommodative of both the live streaming. I like to that when you are outside the country, you want to really know what's happening at
on
home.
On the app.
Yeah, on the app. So that also, I don't know if you were the first, but I know that I was introduced by one meme regarding your app. And at least I could listen when you go out of the country, you are able to download the app and you are able to listen to it.
We are the only one.
Okay. Oh, great.
We are proud of that.
Yeah, so...
Well, if others have caught up, it's okay.
Yeah.
We were the first.
Yeah, so for me, that's what I like. Being bold to be able to create something new that has never been done. And that's how we are supposed to do things, not copy and paste.
You see, I'm deliberately drawing a parallel between your school and Eagle FM. Because your unique approach, and I truly believe that we have a unique approach at this level. You were talking about producers and stuff. The person you see in front of you, he is everything. He is the producer, he is the scriptwriter. There is no any other person screaming in the ears of small as she is. You have been watching her. You came in earlier. That's it. There is no any other person. When that presenter is in the studio, holds so much power that he or she can mislead the nation. That's the power of a mic.
Yeah.
But we have taught them, and we try our level best, not for them to venture into many other things.
Yeah.
You were talking about people didn't like it.
Yeah.
It's not true. Those people who are negative in life, they are not many. They are always in minority.
Okay.
Yeah. They probably, yes, occupy powerful positions.
Or louder.
But that's it.
Yeah.
More and more as time lapses, they will be exposed for who they are.
Yeah.
And we are still here. And some of those who were saying all sorts of things about Eagle FM, they are now our clients. They will call and say, you know what? That story, approach it this way and not that way. And we are listening and we accommodate everybody.
Yeah.
So the parallel I'm trying to draw is to say that, and you have actually mentioned it, to say that the more we can focus on unique approach, the better for our society. Copy and paste will not take us anywhere.
Yeah.
They say if you copy and paste, own it.
Yeah.
You can never own something that you have pasted.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
True.
Now, I asked you the other day, when you go around the world, are you not scared that somebody will steal your idea?
So basically, For me, I believe
because
that...
Because you are sharing too much with the world, you know, my goodness.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Mm.
One thing that we need to know is that there will never be a different, another John.
Mm.
There will be never another Vicky in this world.
Yeah.
They may be similar. Oh, she sounds almost like Vicky. It's almost like Vicky's idea. But your unique strategic approach is something that nobody can actually copy entirely.
Mm.
They can get ideas from your concept.
Mm.
Like for what I do, basically, when I'm sharing what we do in our school, is to be able to actually wake up the mindset of that teacher.
Mm.
They now get into their own class to say, oh, so with this learner, I can actually go, and you will find actually them sharing on the ideas that you have prompted, that you have triggered, but it's their own idea. All we did was actually push them to be able to, or to be able to trigger that mindset. They have it already in their own unique approach. So I don't believe that somebody can steal your idea. They can get ideas and also now be able to implement in their own unique approach. I'm willing to share as much as possible because for me, my belief is that we need to be able to, all of us do it in our own unique ways and solve the problems with the kids in front of us. I cannot reach Zimbabwe. I cannot open branches all over the world. But if you can help this person to just have a different mindset and create within their own unique style, they will still be able to help those learners in front of them. That is what I believe is, and Koha will still be Koha in the Vicky approach, while another school will still be inclusive in a Maria approach. As long as the concept of inclusive education, which will lead to inclusive society all over the country, all over the world, is implemented. That's what matters at the end of the day.
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
You see, and that's the reason why I asked that question. I wanted to test if truly this is your original idea. But it has come out because it's like when I'm bored, I also do farming. I actually twist it now. Normally when people ask me, what do you do? I say, no, I'm involved in traditional leadership and doing some business. I mention other things. Then I would put like a disclaimer to say, no, when I'm bored, I do media. So this time around, when I'm bored, I do agriculture.
Okay.
And people always, whenever people come to my farm or ask or we meet, I share everything. And that's the reason why we put even our farm on Facebook for people to see.
Okay.
Now somebody was like, but are you not scared that people will steal your idea? And I always say, there is no competition in farming. If I'm producing eggs, the next person can come and do something with that egg. You see what I mean? From the egg we produce. So the more people we have that can add value to our ideas and improve them, why not? Because that is actually the downfall of many of us, especially as Africans. That we are scared to share our ideas so much so that good ideas dies along the way. Because if you don't share it, it will never be improved. And nothing should remain original. And enterprises and business, they evolve. And that's what we don't have in our society. That's why all what we are able to do, and those are the people we call business people. If you run a fleet of taxis, it's a good thing. But what else can you do with that? Buses or kabashu. There is little that can grow out of that in terms of improving the retail sector. So the real enterprises is innovation. And I'm now looking at the budget, the national budget, because I know you have business. Do you see that element of innovation in that budget?
I think I will need to go back into that. But I like the fact that somehow the youth are now really being like on the, what do you call it? A priority.
Yeah.
In many of these budgets as well. One can see that Madam President really listened to the youth, but would now really like to see implementation done. And also, you know, the leaders to listen to the youth themselves. Not to do things as how they think needs to be done, but listen to the youth on the ground. Do a lot of research with the youth that are actually on the ground to hear what do they need, how do they want it, and put them in the leadership and mentor them. Put them in the lead to be able to actually now innovate and give them the necessary support. Groom us to become better leaders. If we don't know how to approach you, then come up with a section, again, a workshop where you are now mentoring these young people on how to do public speaking or so on. Instead of now coming up with very good budget, because sometimes the concept is good, but the implementation sometimes also jeopardizes the results of this. So I believe if the budget can really, really be utilized properly, but involving the young people themselves before you start doing implementation. Because sometimes it looks really nice on the paper. But practically, you need to really find out on the people on the ground that you're working with. It's like us in our school. We first observe from the learners. The learners are the ones to guide us. That this is how... This is my learning style. So you need to now teach them on that approach. That is now what I'm saying, to be flexible.
Yeah.
Doing a one-way approach, which might not work also for all the youth in the different sections, can also be a problem later on. Because sometimes the idea is good, but again, the approach is in a wrong or wrong timing. So proper planning, involving the young people themselves in that budget. And we want transparency as well.
That's key,
yeah? Yeah, and result. We want a report. After that was now implemented, we want to see also a report afterwards. Not after the 5 years.
Are you talking to Madam President? Please.
To the leaders. To the leaders. I'm talking to the leaders. We really want transparency. We want to also be involved. We are always ready to join. We are a lot. And we have the energy. We have the time. Please utilize it for us, because we know that this is now, the world is being set for us as the youth and our future kids. So, yeah, and give us a platform to voice out
our opinion. The excitement of the new parliament, I think it has ignited a new hope in the society. The other day we were discussing with my wife, and for the first time in our life, we would switch on to watch parliament on the TV.
Yeah.
Or when we are driving,
we
go on the streaming and we check on the Facebook.
You
see, there is excitement. And what you are saying is what is happening in Parliament should now manifest itself on the ground.
On the ground.
Because really, there is new spirit that they have managed to capture the society, listening. Because before... The minister will just make a statement. There's no follow-up questions. And I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
We are just now hoping that things will manifest themselves on the ground.
We want to see.
If you were given an opportunity to talk to the president, what would you say to him?
Madam President... We would really like to practically be involved in anything of her plannings. We want to be given the opportunity to be able to come to her office and also raise, because, like, personally, I would really like to sit down with her. There's so much that I've learned, and there's so much that I can also learn from her, but the opportunity to really reach those offices is a challenge. So that one can share that this is what we're experiencing on the ground within my division,
yes,
within my knowledge and my experience, that can help the greater Namibia overall. So the, just to have an open dialogue where she can really just listen to us, the young people. She can even come here on Eagle FM and we can call in and just have a discussion. We just want her to give us that openness, open door policy for us to be able to approach her in a respectful way, of course, to listen to us before we have to come and complain. We want to be part of the table in planning when it involves us, the young people in business, for example, young people in art, in education. Call us in together with your ministers and listen also from us before you start actually implementing. Because sometimes the idea and the concept are good, but things have changed a lot over the years. And the young people are best to also share what will best suit them. And we have the capacity as young people. There's a lot of graduates. There's a lot of young people that are actually on the ground to also facilitate, to help in certain project implementation and so on. So please involve us as much as possible. Utilize us and welcome us to your door when we knock.
Vicky, you have spoken to Madam President.
Yes.
If you are given an opportunity to speak to a traditional leader, what would be your message?
To a traditional leader, I think we really need mentorship because, yeah, some of us are disciplined. And that's because we want to be able to bring Okungi, where we want to hear our background and our roots.
Why we do things the way we do
them. Yes, we are getting lost and losing our identity as young Namibians, as young Africans. And sometimes now this also gets lost in even in our innovation. If you're an engineer, you will not think of the roots of Ondungu. I don't know what you call. Is it a dam? Or is it a borehole? How is it Ondungu? Is what exactly?
It's a borehole.
Yeah, but now if you go and listen to the elders, we want to have the opportunity where we can really have Okungi, where we have different traditional leaders who can just tell us about our history as well. We don't have a lot of those opportunities.
Ondungu is actually a well, man.
It's a You see, that's why we need education. We need education. And they should come out here more and talk to us, the young people.
Are you guys ready to listen to traditional
leaders? Yes, but they should also take in mind now that their approach when you're approaching young people might be a bit different. So they can, maybe to be a bit accommodative.
Who should be attentive between a traditional leader and the youth of today? Who should be attentive in a way that who should submit to who in order for the youth of today to pay attention to traditional leaders? Between the two?
I don't think submission, it's more of the approach.
Okay.
Yeah. Young people, if you approach them in the way and in the language that they understand, in the way, in the things they like, then they will listen. You get their attention immediately. So many times now, because, like I said, we are far-fetched. Our worlds are way different. The way elders used to speak to young people back then and already that submission is automatic. When the traditional leader or the senior comes in, we are automatic. But in today's world, you will step in there, it's like you don't exist. And it's an old topic.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So, but once you come in, you have also somebody, a young person, who's able to, you know, just create that environment where these young people can listen to you. Be able to also to take in mind that some of these young people, even now in Shiwambo, they are kids that don't know their language. But if you have somebody who can be able to also, you know, accommodate by speaking in English as much as you are there, a leader, now this person that you really want to comprehend or what you want to share with them, they will now listen. You're using social media platform. Those are also things that attract the young people. Using music. There are a lot of young people that are also into traditional songs, for example. Now find a way on how you can utilize that to be able to lure this young person. Comedy is another one. Yeah. So initially, it's just bringing in and accommodating on what young people also like. The approach really need to speak to the young people. Then you catch their attention immediately.
Vicky.
Yes,
your
sir.
School, you want to grow it beyond what it is today.
Yes.
Do you have space?
The space...
What is your biggest challenge in growing your school beyond what it is today?
Space is number one.
Okay.
Yeah, we have already a whole plan of how our school setup will be, which is the whole... grade 0 to grade 1, which is the mainstream, grade 11. And then
the vocational aspect.
In the vocational aspect and the special need division of the different levels. Then we also have a training resource center because we now receive a lot of international. When I go out, they want to follow us back to the school to come and now practically learn on the ground. So we have a lot of international exposure and international students and clients that we also want. And somehow this also brings promotion. I remember when our intern came in from Germany, her parents, when she finished, came to join her to tour around Namibia.
Wow.
So it's also bringing in quite a lot of good tourism in this. We have a team from the U.S. which are also preparing to come and bring some of their students and their professors to also be on the ground with us at our school. So again, they want to explore Namibia. So this...
I'm actually excited to hear that.
Yeah.
That we have a product in you.
Yes.
Yeah, which we are exporting.
Yeah.
It's also bringing in that hard foreign currency. Because when they come as tourists,
they spend.
They come to spend.
Yeah.
Now, you see, why I'm excited about your initiative is the fact that we have Namibians going to other African countries for religious reasons. There are bishops and prophets elsewhere in Africa. I believe the famous one now is in Uganda. There used to be that one he died of COVID in Nigeria. But here you are, at least attracting foreigners to come to Namibia for a good cause.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to those of us who are one-dimensional way of looking at things, where we have that tunnel thinking and not broadening our horizon to believe in things like you have been bewitched and because you alluded to it earlier also. There are parents who really thought something has happened spiritually to their children.
Yeah.
But after you have sat with them and molded them, they are different.
Yeah.
What that type of thinking which we have easily become gullible.
Yeah.
Especially from the spiritual realm. What do you have to say to that?
Sure. It's a challenge because it's very hard to change somebody's mindset from being open. But to add to that, I would say we have always something to offer. Mm. For me, I always present myself to say, yes, you are open to learn from others, but look at what you are able to, the skills that you have and what you have available around you. I've been to so many countries, but I always look back to say, oh, at least we have water. And I thank God for that. What you have available should be sufficient, and that should be take priority. Because now, having a closed mindset also doesn't make you available to learn new things. If you're closed-minded, what do you learn? Because you have already closed your mind to just what you know. And sometimes that makes your whole issue more difficult. Because when you are open-minded, you are able to also learn from somebody else. But first of all, learn from yourself. What do you have? That's when you need to assess what do you have and what are the skills you have to solve that the problem yourself. Because when you go fast, sometimes the solution is just within yourself.
Having said that,
mm-hmm.
what is your attitude towards a concept of thinking outside the box?
I remember we having a discussion about outside the box. I would say never be in the box, actually. Mm. From the first go, just never be in the box. Mm. Try to always surround yourself outside that box. In fact, let's not have a box.
Thank you.
Because that box limits you so much from doing what you are capable to do. Mm. It limits innovations. Mm. It limits solutions to many problems because now you only work with what you have. Mm. But in many times when you are unable to solve, when that problem has been standing for so long, it's because you are now not going above what you know already. And sometimes the solution is something new. And this is how we add to academics, to studying. We need more researchers, actually, on this ground. More researchers, and that is where we can actually get more innovation and more solution to many of our problems. So don't live in the box.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
Yes.
It shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Then if it doesn't exist, you don't have to think outside it.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah.
Now, Vicky, I was testing you this morning. And I deliberately sent you a message at 4 in the morning. And I could see you were online already.
Yes.
At 4.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you to be online at 4?
So, I have a routine sometimes. I'm up and down a lot, but I also prioritize my health. So, if I sleep a bit earlier, so that I can wake up early to go to the gym, I wake up at 4:30, I'm out to the gym. 5 to 6, I'm at the gym. 6 to 7, I meditate. Already go through my to-do list for the day. And then 7, I'm out already. And then I do my mother duties. I have a daughter, beautiful baby girl. She's now, she's big now. She's not a baby anymore. So I, and trust me, I'm not a morning person. My mom would be shocked to see me waking up actually at that time because I used to be thrown with Kowavata in Swako. Imagine it's called to wake up. But it's something that you need to teach yourself. Discipline. As a business person, do what you hate most is number one, especially in the beginning of the day. And that will help you a lot in all your business management actually and leadership skills by doing that hard thing that is not so easy. Then you create a very good, healthier lifestyle.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was awake to go to the gym.
You meditate between 5 and 6.
Yes.
What do you mean by meditating? Is it like praying or...
Yes.
Are you a Muslim or what is it?
I'm a Christian.
What is the meaning of meditating?
Meditating is not always about prayer.
Mm.
It's just relaxing your mind.
Mm.
You listen to bilateral sounds. Mental health is very important. As crazy people, we think a lot.
Mm.
We cannot switch off this mind. Just a kettle boiling already triggers an idea, business idea. So sometimes you just need, usually I grew up at the coast, right? So I would go and sit in front of the ocean and just listen to the sound waves. But when I don't have that, I try to create that environment within at least twice a week. Just to have it for your own mental health. Overthinking can also be a problem. It can cause issues to your mental health.
Ask me.
And you will start speaking to yourself, and you put sugar in the fridge, and you will be wanting to beat everybody. Because your mind is all over the place. It also sometimes disturbs your focus and concentration throughout the day. And after meditation, that I now write, I'm now in a better mindset. I now plan and go through my plan for the day. I'm able to write down my to-do list. I don't work without a to-do list on a daily basis, and I need to tick off.
Now, since you are dealing with the outside world,
mm-hmm.
especially the U.S.,
yeah.
where when we are awake, we are in dreamland and vice versa,
yeah.
how do you manage to balance that life?
Yeah, so it's good to be self-employed, to be your own boss, because in moments maybe we have an online meeting or I have online classes and so on, and that time difference, I'm able to sacrifice to wake up at that time to accommodate my colleagues for that. But sometimes we also look at what can be, sometimes they also sacrifice. They will wake up way earlier because then by us it will be maybe, because it's a 7-hour difference.
Yes.
And in the U.S., I came to learn when I was there that even within the country they have still time difference.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are able to compromise as well. They understand that we are both in two different time zones.
Yeah.
But when that gets like that, at least for that 1 week or 2 weeks, then the other week, I know that I'm waking up at 10 and go to the gym, kumatango, in the evening. So you just try to balance your life in those activities.
You have her here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why I kept her captive so that she can learn a thing or two.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the two of you have had a relationship already.
Yeah.
You have observed her. What do you have to say to her? Because she's very young.
Mm.
And she's, when she's behind this mic, she's talking to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Not only to Namibia.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to her? How do you encourage her to stay focused? Speak to her now.
Okay, I will tell her that you are treasure.
Mm.
You have something to offer. And always sell yourself as that. Because many times you count yourself short. As a young person, you believe, I am only doing this for fun. Commit and craft your art. Because that is what will sell you. Respect, discipline is number one. And know your purpose and stick to it. Jumping around too many things can be a problem. You don't master in your craft when you're jumping around, because years of experience is what brought me to what I am today, since 2011. So once you invest that energy and time, you're only young ones. If you can sunrise doing other things, you can sunrise working on something productive to take your favor. And you can achieve so much in life when you are young. Staying focused. The circle of your people that you hang with. I hardly have friends. Most of my friends are actually older than me.
I I can imagine.
Yeah, because I do.
That has been my life. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't make sense to my fellow young people. But some of them are picking me up now as a mentor, which is good. Of course, create fun, responsible fun, responsible fun in your life, because you're young, so you still want to live a bit, but be responsible when you are having that fun. Prioritize your, and make sure that every day you are ticking off. Have a 5-year plan, break it down on a yearly basis, break it down on a monthly basis, weekly basis, and now on a daily basis. And measure yourself. Have I really accomplished all I wanted to accomplish this year? Be in a room of people that have achieved. Crazy people are the best people to be around with. Be willing to volunteer, because you gain experience that you are actually getting for free. For just being among that the John already gives you the platform. If he gives you extra work, be willing to do it. That's what how I learned leadership at a very young age. I remember working at a school, and I was a senior head within 1 month, and then acting principal within 3 months, because whatever the director told me, I was willing to do it. Yeah. I would work overtime, and I was able to deliver. And I would ask questions, because you are learning. There's YouTube, TikTok. Try to use it to learn something. So all I'm saying is that there's so much out there in the world, but always present yourself as a treasure, never as a beggar. You have something to give, something to offer. Be considerate and accommodative of other people's thoughts and opinions. And seek to always have a mentor, but make sure that you get the right one as well. And filter. Yeah.
Thank you. How can people reach out to you? Where can they find you?
I'm very much available. Okay, not for other things.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Those ones will also come. They will also come, don't worry.
I'm very much, our school is based at the Elson Center, Old Ongwediva. Mm-hmm.
Repeat that again.
Our school, Koha Inclusive School, we also have a website.
Mm-hmm. Where is the school? Sorry.
Elsin Center, Old Ongwediva.
Okay.
In the Elsin Center.
Ongwediva
Kuru. Yeah, Ongwediva Kuru. Mugwemunu Matungo Skola Kutuo SP, Ongwediva Secondary. That's where we are. And then we also have a website, www.koha.com. academy.com.
How do you spell Koha again?
COHA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Go with the whole website.
Okay, www.koha-academy.com.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should share my contact here as well.
It's up to you.
Oh my goodness, please, this is the office number. 081-666-4074. 081-666-4074.
On Facebook, Twitter?
Yes.
What is your Twitter handle?
Twitter, no. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not so active there. But we're on Facebook.
Okay.
Circle of Hope Private Academy, Koha.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, Koha Inclusive School. As well as on Facebook, my own personal Joy Victoria, I'm also there.
What is your final word?
My final word is that thank you very much for bringing the crazy girl.
Mm-hmm.
You actually stood by your word.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that quite well, because I'll be heading out again over the country for a short time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where to?
Kenya.
For another assignment?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Kenya this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just want to thank you. It's good to be called in, and actually somebody to just hear your story. Many times you just do your things and you think, no one actually cares is paying attention. Especially it's a lonely world when you're creating something unique and different, and not many people understands you.
Mm.
So having somebody like you actually seeing me as a role model, I was like, what? But you are my role model. So yeah. So it's nice as a young person to be acknowledged in your own country by your own people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to hurt me that I'm like, when you go to other countries and the way they will treat me, I'm like, oh, why am I not being treated like this at home? Yeah, you're being received as a guest of honor, you know, and they are highlighting, she's from Namibia, Namibia. I'm like, when you come back to Namibia, you even wonder, maybe I must change the country when I go there.
You see, Namibia, we are unique.
Yeah.
The country.
Yeah.
I always like to tell the story of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
When he first came to Namibia, there was this euphoria.
Yeah.
Everybody was running all over. People even drove from the whole of Namibia, basically from different regions.
Yeah.
Just to meet and see Michael Jackson
in
the flesh.
Yeah.
So Michael Jackson was captivated.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm respected in Africa. And you know the mistake he made?
Mm.
Maybe after 3 months, he came back again.
Mm.
Namibia, he just looked at him.
We know you. We know you.
That is us as Namibians.
Yeah.
But yes.
But for me, really, I want to really call out.
Yeah.
Please visit our school.
Mm.
I will do this on air, Mr. Tino Balotti, please, our deputy minister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting on you to please visit our school.
Mm-hmm.
We have really given out a lot of invitations to our leaders, but not many. We want them to really come see what we are doing on the ground. So sometimes they understand.
Humbly ask the president also.
Madam President, please come and visit our school in the Elsie Center.
It
will
make a difference in the life of those.
Very much. These kids, you will love them, and these katekulos of yours will really show you and make you proud as a president to have such beautiful kids with beautiful gifts.
Mm.
And there are many more, but if you can just come and see them, and they show you what they are capable, my team, they will be excited to also showcase and share their experience working with these kids. And the parents, the support, they need the support because the stigma from the community is not so good. So if we can have Madam President show support.
You see, this is what I always say, that what people like yourself, people like yourself, or crazy people for that matter.
Yeah.
They don't need money. They just need that love.
Yes.
Out of that love,
motivation.
Money will come.
Yes.
Money will come.
It will follow.
So I really hope and wish that many of our leaders can answer to your call.
Of course.
For them to visit your school. Because
including you,
Me, I will keep my way.
Of course, I believe that.
After Kenya, please, just let me know that you are in town.
Okay.
We'll make sure that we will visit the school with the team.
Okay.
But I want you to, I have a request to you.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way
how
we can expose that boy.
Okay.
How we can expose him. Can we interview him? That delayed.
Might be a challenge.
It will be a challenge.
But if you have live streaming,
yes.
You are able to, with the permission of the parent, of course,
yes,
if they grant us that, you are able to come to the school and just maybe record what he's able to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because him coming here, it's a different environment.
No, but let him see also this
way. Yeah, we can actually bring them, some of them to come and just see.
Yes, just to come and see.
See, but what they are capable of, maybe they will be more comfortable to showcase it at the school, in the environment that they are used to.
Believe me.
But with exposure, you never know.
Believe me that what we do here at Ego FM, we are about talent.
Okay.
We don't look at your background, where you are from.
Okay.
Where you remember that's where you have been.
Yeah.
What you have done.
Yeah.
No, that's not our space.
Yeah.
We look at your talent.
Okay.
And that's what always what we try to play up.
Okay.
More than anything else. And I have this beautiful story always to tell about Francis Nangera.
Mm.
He doesn't like it, people to talk about him being blind.
Mm.
But he has refused to be referred to as disabled.
Mm.
He has refused to be referred to as
visually impaired.
Visually impaired.
Mm.
He's saying, no, I'm not visually impaired.
Mm.
I'm blind.
Yes.
And he's proud of it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And his talent, every time I listen to him, you know, he has this program in Silozi.
Mm.
Sometimes I just listen. I don't understand what he's saying, but I know it's making sense on air.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity for me to also apologize at the same time to our listeners.
Mm.
They have been calling.
Oh.
But I didn't want to have that interaction.
Okay.
Because the most important person is you today.
Okay.
So they are now free to call.
Okay.
Later in other shows.
Okay.
And make a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because my objective is for people to interact with you.
Okay.
At your level.
Okay.
Meaning at school.
Thank you so much.
Namibia should come and see how you are doing wonders.
Thank you.
A part of our society, which for many years has been neglected.
Of course.
And Namibia, I'm saying to you, don't wait to die to meet your angel. I have met mine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we are grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We now close off the show and hand over to Mind the Gap. It's now Mind the Gap coming, eh? That's another.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM.
Shifa, nwahara kushivitha oma akuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkulu olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konora hitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mumberewa konora hitatu natu, mbali o hitatu batatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.